Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our blessed Redeemer. We thank you, Lord, that in you and you alone do we have salvation. And as we come to your word today, Lord, we would see, Father, that your love does lay upon us, Lord, certain responsibilities. Lord, because you first loved us, we love you. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would minister your grace and truth to us in a new and living way, and that you would be honored and you would be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Just remember to check your bulletin so we know what we're up to over the next 2 weeks, and also be in prayer for those who couldn't be with us today, many sick. So, uphold them in prayer. Yeah, we have responsibilities. In fact, all people have responsibilities. That is, all are accountable. All are obligated and all are answerable to something or someone. Whether it's the government, whether it's the law, whether it's our employers. In the family, we all have responsibilities. But if you're a born-again believer, our first and our utmost responsibility is to be to the Lord our God, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer, the Redeemer of this world. That's what he came into the world to do, to purchase back man to God. In Deuteronomy 6, I'll read verses 4 to 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And in Mark 12:29, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment, greater than these. Notice there, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is only one God. There's only one true God. And all other gods are false to worship. And to worship anyone or anything else is idolatry. And we have a great truth given to us, given to the nation of Israel. They were especially responsible to hold fast and confess, namely, the unity of the Godhead. They were to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and might. And when Israel did this, they were a blessed people. They were a prosperous people. They were fruitful people. But when that was let go, all was gone. They were called to confess this glorious truth in the face of an idolatrous world. A world with many gods and a world with many lords. It was Israel's high and holy privilege. It was their responsibility to bear a witness to the tremendous truth laid out before them. The Lord our God is one Lord. I don't know if anyone watched the religious ceremonies last night that went on, but they may say the right words, but the actions were terrible. In fact, there were the religious leaders from all religions lined up in that ceremony. But there is only one Lord, there is only one God. Now for Israel, they had a tremendous truth laid out before them. You know, Abraham had been called out of the midst of a heathen and idolatrous system to be a witness to the one true living God, to trust him, to walk with him, to lean upon him, and to be obedient to him. Yet as we read the pages of history through God's word, we see quickly they failed in that area. You know, one's only got to read the last chapter of Joshua, where he presents God to the people of Israel. And in chapter 24:16, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Yet in Judges 2, 7 to 13, we won't read them, but one verse says, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. Now what a warning that is to us, to all, that there is only one true living God, and that it is very easy, if we are not careful, that he can be given up for Baal or Ashtoreth. You see, so long as Joshua and the elders were around, their influence kept Israel from serving other gods. But the moment they were gone, idolatry came back, and quickly so. You see, human influence is a very weak prop and defense against the wiles of the devil and against our sinful nature. You know, we are to be sustained and kept by the power of God, or else sooner or later, probably sooner, we will fall. Faith that stands on the wisdom of men, no matter how godly or wise they are, will always prove to be weak and foolish and a worthless faith. It will not stand in the day of trial. It will not stand in the moment of one's temptation. It will not be able to stand the fiery furnace. Second-hand faith will not cut a walk with God. There must be a real connection, a living connection between one's soul and spirit with God. And we all have the responsibility as individuals. We must have to do with God, or else we will give way when the testing comes. Now, it's encouraged to be around and surrounded by a number of truly devoted hearts loyal to Christ and his call. But if that's all a person has, if there isn't a deep spring of personal faith and knowledge of God, when the human props are taken away, when they're gone, human influence slowly works its way back in. I don't know if you ever go to the beach. You go there and it's good to go at the change of tides. You see the low tide's out and you sit there and you watch. And it doesn't take very long before the tide comes back in and claims that beach again. And if our faith and strength is resulting in people around us, when they're gone, it won't take long for the world to come back in. That's why it's important to teach your children how important God is in their lives. Not just your life. But he is to be lived and served and honored as the one true God. Keep them from the idolatrous gods of this world, because they will snap them up. They will come in and take a hold of them. You see, those without a vital, real relationship with the Lord soon return to the ways and the wisdoms of this present world. And that, brothers and sisters, that in reality is no better than the wisdom of Baal and Ashtaroth. But the opposite is also true. When the heart is established in God's truth, when it's established in the grace of God, we can say, as it is the privilege of every believer to say, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed him against that day. Many may pass the lessons of Israel off as not concerning the church or a believer today. But we need to be reminded that Romans 15:4 tells us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now Mark 12:29 says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. You see, Jesus teaches us here the whole duty, the responsibility of man, the whole moral, spiritual law is wrapped up in the action of love. Now, this love is to be, first of all, directed to God. And until we love God, we will never be able to love our neighbor as we should, the way we're commanded to. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. And there's a true fact here that is often missed. And because it's missed, we suffer because of it. The truth is that the one and only true God wants to be loved by you and me. That's one of his desires, is that we love him wholeheartedly. So how do we do that? 1 John 2:15 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, why are we commanded to love him? 1 John 4:19 tells us we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. So first of all, we are to love the Lord. Mark 12:30, with all our heart. You see, the one true God is our God. And what a blessed fact that is, and what a blessed relationship we have with him. And the way that we are reminded of how our conduct, how our actions are to be, can only come from a loving heart. And here's the truth that concerns all real practical Christianity, and without it, nothing is of value to God. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart. You see, when the heart's given to God, everything will be right. When one has truly surrendered the least corner of their heart, the little thing they're still hanging on to that stops them from truly surrendering themselves completely to God, once they've given their heart completely, things become right. You see, God is looking for true, real heart work. It's easy to do the work of a Christian. You've only got to look at all the faiths that are based on works instead of faith. It's easy to go and serve. It's easy to help other people. It's easy to serve in a church and go out and knock on doors. It's easy to do all those things. But it's a totally difference if it's coming from a heart surrendered to God. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, God cannot be satisfied with anything else. And whether it is our ways with him, and listen carefully, whether it is our ways with each other as his body of believers, all must flow from our heart surrendered to God. Whatever else is in the heart comes out through the mouth and in one's life. And how important then is it that our hearts be filled with the Word of God? So full that we have no room for the worthlessness of self-pleasure. No room for self-seeking ways. No room for foolish beliefs and systems of this evil and wicked world. When the heart is truly governed by God, governed by his word, the whole character of a person reveals the blessed result. You see, God places a great importance to the attitude and the state of his child's heart. See, when a heart is true to him and the person loves God with all their heart, all is sure to come out the right way. But if a heart grows cold, if a heart grows careless, if the Christian has begun to backslide, if the heart love is not what it is to be as to God and his truth, sooner or later, the paths of truth and the paths of righteousness are abandoned. Acts 11:23 tells us who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You see, the outward life may look pretty good. Plenty of people look like a Christian. You say, what does that mean? Well, you just need to look around. They try and look the part. But if one's love for the Lord is lacking, then everything is worthless. To love the Lord with all your heart will stop a person gossiping about their others in their church. Nothing worse than gossip. You ask my wife the one thing I don't tolerate, gossip. What a horrible thing to talk ill about another brethren. But you will if your heart's not truly right with God. The evil speaking of our neighbours. If our heart is filled with the love of God, it'll stop idle gossip. It'll stop the worthless small talk, the judgmental attitudes, because all these things proceed from the state of one's heart. Ephesians 5:18 says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking unto yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? The Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're to love the Lord with all our soul. And here the soul is the seat of man's emotional activities. The word soul here is referring to the breathing creature. This is man's complete surrender. Our surrender to God's will. It is where we come from being indifferent to the claims he has on our lives, and we turn and we honor him. We serve him with reverence and a healthy and holy fear. And we do it intelligently. We do it sincerely. We think of him rightly. We adore the perfections of our God. We delight in him as the only good thing. We give to him the honor that's due to him. We do his will. We live spiritual lives, not fleshly lives. Many have had God knock on their heart to go and do and be. And they sit cold-heartedly and saying, no, the cost is too great. And they miss out on the blessings of being surrendered to the Lord. Romans 8:29 tells us we're being conformed into the image of his Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're to love the Lord with all our soul. We're also to love the Lord with all our mind. We come to the intellectual center of life. It's how we think. It's where we process what we learn. The mind is the place we store up knowledge. What goes into a person's mind is of the greatest importance. It's where we develop the attitudes and the dispositions are moulded for our lives. The mind is what gives us understanding. And the word mind here is it's a channel of an act. Knowing leads to being. Being leads to doing. The mind's a transmitter. It gives out what has come in. You know, right now, there's sounds all going. There's evil and wicked music all through this room, right at this moment. Not from next door. There's evil words being said. There's the denouncement of God being the one true God. You say, I can't hear anything. Well, if I got a radio and put the aerial up and turned it on, you'd hear it. It's in the air. We can't hear it because we're not tuned in. And we fail to hear God's purpose for our life. We fail to act on God's plan for our life because we have not our spiritual antennas tuned in to the voice of God. And we sit and we waste away, and our Christianity becomes stale, and it becomes as a nothingness, and we go through the motions. And if we think hard enough, we might turn up to church once a week for an hour, but we'll miss the blessings because we haven't loved the Lord our God with all our mind. If one takes in the ways of worldliness, if one takes in the ways of unholiness, when one takes in the ways of lust, when one's ways and one's mind is bent towards what's contrary to God's will, then they will be ungodly. They will be unholy. They will walk the way of worldliness and conform to the ways of Baal and Ashtaroth. There will be no joy and no delight in the things of God. And loving the Lord your God with all your mind comes through one way, and it's a personal relationship with Him. You see, one must be born again, or one cannot love the Lord the way they're supposed to. One must see themselves as a sinner before a holy God. They must accept the death of His Son as payment for their sin and trust Him as their Savior. That's the first step. And after that, then there has to be personal fellowship with Him. The more time spent in fellowship with the Lord, the more you get to know Him. That's a natural thing. The more time spent in fellowship with the Lord, the more you get to know His ways. Listen, we've all got ways, amen. Don't look at your husband's wives. We've all got ways. I might have asked this before, if I have. Keep it to yourself till I ask the rest of them. Think about it. This is a very deep spiritual question. I want you to think hard. Who stirs their cup of tea with their left hand? Who stirs with their right hand? Think about it. Put your hand up. Who stirs with their left hand? There's one. Who stirs with their right hand? Who uses a spoon? We all have ways, brothers and sisters. We all have ways. And the more time we spend in fellowship with the Lord, the more we live His ways. The more we know His desires for our life. And fellowship with the Lord requires prayer time. It requires a meditation time. A time of taking in His Word. Being led of His Spirit. See, a knowledge of the Lord isn't just knowing about Him or knowing about godliness. Knowing about God isn't the same as knowing God. There's a big difference. That's why daily devotions are important. You combine that with prayer, and a meditation on the knowledge about God turns into a knowledge of God. The word taken in then runs through that channel of the mind, and then out flows the godly desires, the godly attitudes, the godly actions. A man loves his wife properly, serves his family properly. The wife and mother honors the children and the father. The home is blessed because it's godly actions. We don't have to go far to see the mess the world is in today. In fact, you don't have to be a Christian to know something is lacking in the way society functions. The way a man thinks is certainly not the way God thinks. If you've studied the anti-discrimination laws, they do one thing only, they discriminate. That's what they do. Multiculturalism causes division. And what I'm saying here is not about racism or anything like that. It's about the worldly society trying to make everything work by leaving God out of the picture, by taking away his ways and replacing them with their ways. You see, the world's way is just let everyone be what they want to be. Don't discipline your children. Don't let them learn respect. Let them be what they want to be. Let them do what they want to do. Let them do whatever. And what do we have? Same-sex marriage. Religion that does not care what God has served. That's the channel of thought for the ways of the world. That channel has produced the laws and the government that we have to live under today. You see, God's ways in Exodus 20, verse 3, we know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is that earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, they shall not cover thy neighbor's house. They shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And people love today to say, oh, that's Old Testament law. I'm born again. I'm free. I have liberty. Yes, we do, but not liberty to sin. Because I want to read you now some of the Lord's commands. Matthew 15:4, honor your parents. Matthew 5:17-19, honor God's law. Matthew 5:27-30, do not commit adultery. Matthew 19:6, honor marriage. Mark 4:23, Luke 14:35, listen to God's voice. Luke 12:15, beware of covetousness. Luke 13:3, repent. Matthew 7, choose the narrow way. Matthew 5, go the second mile. Love the Lord with all your mind. Fourth, we're to love the Lord with all our strength. In other words, that's our ability, all our might, all our power. We are not to serve ourselves. We are to serve God. And as a body of believers, we serve one another. You know, I'm sure for some, I'm sure it's no one here, but for some people, getting out of bed and come to serve the Lord is just too much work for them. It's just too hard to get to church on time. It's too hard to pick up a broom, to come ready to serve someone else. To read the Bible, it's just, I just can't concentrate. So the Bible's too hard to read. So I'll just read a newspaper for the next 4 hours. To pray is too much effort. But I can spend 3.5 hours on the phone talking about nothing to someone else. I can sit down and watch hours of television. To serve is too much of a hindrance to my lifestyle. You say some may show these token things on a Sunday morning, but where's the commitment to Christ, who committed himself to the Father's will and allowed himself to be nailed to a cross? To have his Father turn his face from him and leave him abandoned with the sin of the world, past, present, and future, laid upon him. If he can commit to that, can't we commit our lives to him? If Israel were morally bound to obey God, then how much more, as Christians, are we to love the Lord? When was the last time we studied and meditated the claims of Christ upon us? Do we feel the power of his Spirit at work drawing us to love him and serve him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength? Have we forgotten 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And that's the question, is his glory what rules our motives? Does his love constrain us from the unlovely? Or are we living for ourselves, packaging our little areas of obedience in this place, service in this place, but we don't allow him full access to our hearts? Is our desire to get on in this world, and listen carefully, a world that crucified our blessed Lord and Savior? Are we seeking to make money for the sake of it or what it can buy? Are we seeking a place in this world for ourselves and for our children? Come on, let's honestly, myself included, let's challenge our hearts in the light of God's truth and in his presence. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The challenge today, brothers and sisters, is do you and I dare put away these very deep and searching questions and just close the lid on them? Should we not weigh them up in the light of the glorious, and I say glorious, judgment seat of Christ, where which we will stand? Not for sin, but for the service we gave him. Let us consider these things. Let us meditate upon them. Let us remember that our Lord left us an example that we should follow. And may the Holy Spirit and His ministry enter more fully into the truth and then understand that we are called to walk even as He walked. Listen, a small church can serve the Lord just as well as a big church if those believers love the Lord their God and love their brothers and sisters as they should. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You, Lord, that it is simple. We thank You it is clearly understood. And it's understood because we're believers and the Holy Spirit lives within us. And we pray, Lord, that what we have learnt today, that we not lock away somewhere, but we live it out, Lord, to the glory of Your name. That we fall in love anew with You. That we understand the depths of the cross, the beauty of Your love for us, and that we not be ashamed of the gospel, but we live it out, Lord, to the glory of Your name. Lord, help us to love You with all our mind and strength and soul and spirit, and that we truly, Lord, be surrendered to You and come into that full blessing of knowing, Lord, that not only do You walk with us, You go before us. Father, we thank You and praise You for all things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.